Good morning and welcome to chapel. This morning we will be hearing from several seniors as they reflect on how EMU has been formational in shaping their spiritual journeys. This morning we'll be hearing from Kirsten Rosetto, Nels Okerson, Emily Harnish, Taylor Weidman, and Becca Enns, with various thoughts on several prompts relating to EMU's mission and vision statement and our time here as it is quickly drawing to a close. Between each sharing, James will be performing a piece on the sax, and we'll just move through the order without any further introductions. But first, let's pause.
O God, author of eternal light, lead us in our worshiping this day, that our lips may praise you, that our lives may bless you, and our meditations glorify you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. When coming to EMU, I never imagined the journey that would bring me here today. Throughout my 4 years here at EMU, I have been privileged to interact with wonderful professors, challenging classes, amazing friends, and the breathtaking Shenandoah Valley. One of the main reasons I came to EMU was this idea of a required cross-cultural. The idea of exploring the world with my peers and professors never sounded better to me. While studying peacebuilding and development, I was able to go on two cross-culturals, one to Guatemala and the other to the Washington Scholars Community in DC. Both of my experiences opened my eyes to difference and this idea of recognizing bias and with what lens I personally see the world. Throughout my travels, it was always evident that EMU places significance on community and that extends the incredible people that have welcomed us into their homes even though we were strangers. As I engaged with host families, tour guides, neighbors, and coworkers, I struggled to understand my purpose as a peace builder and a Christian in the world. This essential lifestyle of peace building continuously put me in places where I not only struggled, but grounded myself in never settling on indifference, but to simply keep letting God create space for me to enter into while I walk humbly through him and his journey for me. While in Guatemala City, my identity and allegiance to my faith grew in ways I never thought possible. While studying immigration at the border and in the city, I was always reminded that the people I was encountering had a story, much as I had my own story. The openness of everyone we talked to blew me away. How could these people have such faith and dedication to what was going on and what was happening in their lives? I can't give you a complete answer, but what I know is that God has grounded all of us in our faith and in the way we seek out his purpose throughout our daily life. During a weekly chapel, one day a week, we passed and were encouraged to write down a prayer concern or a praise that was on our hearts on that day. As we passed them forward on a slip of paper, they were anyways, we passed them out and we got different ones, got each other's, so that all of us could share each other's thoughts. I received this: El Señor nos trajo con alegría a esta reunión. Gracias a Dios. The Lord brought us here today to this meeting with joy. That particular day, I needed the simple reminder. And knowing that our school community there felt God's presence, and that solidified our mutual experience in worshiping together. I experienced grace and welcome when I felt like I didn't deserve it. But God works in all of us, and that is where we find our common ground. We are called through cross-cultural experience here at Eastern Mennonite University, and for that, I am forever grateful for the time and care and that we've put making into the most amazing experience I've ever had.
Thank you. This story briefly touches on one aspect of my spiritual journey at EMU. If you want to walk fast, walk alone. If you want to walk far, walk together. African proverb. This proverb articulates how I want to live. Walking together welcomes the sustainability of community. Let me illustrate this with a short story. At approximately 6 o'clock each Tuesday evening, at least three Parkwoods apartments gather for an evening meal. One such evening, George arrived disappointed with his academic performance that day. An exam completely surprised him. He sat in the oblong, casual circle, wondering what redeeming quality he could contribute. As other friends chatted, a friend, let's call him Francis, asked about the exam. George shared the grade, and Francis felt his pain. Later, Francis did not receive his typical mark either, and together they recognized each other's humanity. This Tuesday evening, the community meal created space to share disappointments and recognize each other's humanity. This space embraced the sustainability of community. I know this account firsthand, because in this account, I was George. A community would not be completely sustainable without celebrations to balance the disappointments, however. The same evening, as I mentioned before, a friend explained that she would work at an Alaskan internship over the summer. Happily, she elaborated that she applied earlier this year, finally heard, and approached the experience with mixed emotions. The good news of another's fixed summer plans gave me hope to rise above my disappointments, and I celebrated, which also recognizes another's humanity. The sustainability of community mutually bears disappointments and celebrations. Both are crucial. I graduate on April 28th at approximately 1 p.m. and hope to continue asking, how do I recognize others and my own humanity? If you want to walk fast, walk alone. If you want to walk far, walk together.
EMU envisions a learning community offering healing and hope in our diverse world. We see that every time we read the mission statement. It took a long time for me to be able to see how EMU could offer healing and hope in any way that might make sense to me. The year that I went on cross-cultural, I started to feel like my spiritual life was falling apart. That year, I met people from different faith traditions, lived with them, ate with them, and began to love them. I was walking through the Holy Land, and God felt very close. But my internal life was thrown into turmoil as I thought about things like judgment and exclusivity and eternity. When I came back to America, I spent the summer working at an evangelical summer camp, and I kept feeling worse and worse. I felt trapped and lost and afraid. The fall of my junior year, I asked one of my professors if I could meet with him to talk about God. We met one afternoon in the cafeteria. I had this list of questions I wanted to ask. He laughed when I told him about it, and I know why now. I should have known a conversation about God and faith and hell wouldn't ever be able to follow a list. I was trying to tell him how terrible I felt, how bad and manipulative my own spirituality had begun to seem. And to my shock, I found myself crying into my salad. I don't remember a whole lot about that conversation, but I do remember the last thing he said to me. I hope you keep articulating these things. I hope you keep feeling more and more free. That conversation changed the trajectory of my spiritual journey. It set me on a path towards healing and hope. I had never had an authority figure in my life tell me to keep talking about all the hard things that are part of spirituality. I had never realized that working to articulate the dark spaces, the gaps in my understanding, my fears and doubts and issues could be something that brings freedom. And it is strange, of course, to think that talking about these hard things could bring freedom, but it does. It brings freedom because it means that our whole selves are welcomed into our experience of religious faith. I needed someone to teach me that I was welcomed into Christianity, my whole self, doubts and fears and everything else. Once I learned that, healing and hope became possible. As I prepare to graduate from EMU, I can say confidently that EMU has shown me what it means to offer healing and hope to a diverse world. It means to me nothing more than that we are all welcomed, wholeheartedly, into a community of people striving to love like God.
EMU has been a place where I've had the space to pursue the spiritual and logical in one stroke. A place where I've been free to sit with heresy and not be afraid of hell's fire. Maybe God is an emergent property of mimetic desire in complex social systems. Or maybe, just maybe, we have unwittingly killed God with our microscopes and marginal utility curves. I believe in math, cause and effect, and a loving God, that an easy belief in these together does none of them justice. If our theology doesn't explain experience, then can it reflect the living God? Is it possible to believe in a postmodern version of scientific rationalism while still holding on to the fundamental belief in a loving, acting parent God? Is it okay to hold two value systems in tension because they are simultaneously valid and irreconcilable? If not, I'm in trouble. And I've inserted a little smiley face, you just can't see it. My experience at EMU hasn't let me off with easy answers about either empirical truth or spiritual experience. By compelling me to address both in one 4-year-long breath. I don't have any specific experiences to help visualize the story. Instead, I have a pile of conversations with profs and profs after science and economics classes, a friend and I reacting to the lecture in the hallway, or a late night singing with guitar, friends, and blankets on the hill. I don't have any wise words as an experienced EMUer, except that the deepest questions about who we are, what our point is, and what we do about our problems are worth asking. Even if it means we have to leave the comfortable place of theological certainty. Menno did it. Why not us? Maybe this is how we should pray. Parent God, give us grace when we call you, when we make you small, put you in flasks, and poke you with our pipettes. Forgive us when we try to understand you with Excel, equations, and theoretical computation. Accept us as your children, constantly bifurcated, wanting spirit and truth to not be two separate value systems. I'll leave you with a final thought, very loosely adapted from Wendell Berry's manifesto. So friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord, who is difficult to understand and easy to love. Love the world, which is easy to understand and hard to love. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. In your peace building, in your economics, and in your complexity science, practice resurrection daily.
have absolute faith in the ultimate triumph of good over evil. I blurted this out at an end of a conversation in Ted Grimsrud's History and Philosophy of Nonviolence class, fall of my junior year. Ted, much to my surprise, responded to what I thought to be a rhetorical question with a lecture in our next class together. Ted reflected on how he maintains faith in the transforming power of love, or something along those lines. And this anecdote from History and Philosophy of Nonviolence, of asking an absolute question and being answered with a reflection on awe, has very much a perfect reflection of my faith and my identity, and how it has changed and grown during my time at EMU. Almost at every turn, my fixation with absolutes, my doubts and my questions, have been replaced with a profound awe of the transforming power of love, to which Ted addressed. It seems somewhat cliche to admit, but the college memory verse, Micah 6:8, has had a significant impact in shaping this transformation. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. When I first came to EMU, I was convicted by the first part of that verse. Doing justice. My vocational and faith goals were all about doing what was just. I was going to be a principled lawyer, defeating injustices through the court of law, and applying my Anabaptist convictions to nonviolence in my political defense of human rights. However, an introduction to restorative justice, a semester spent learning to be in Chad, one of the poorest and most corrupt, possibly unjust countries of the world, and committing to a community of presence here at EMU, especially one in which there exists much difference of opinion, have all introduced me to the concept of grace, of learning to love myself and others with mercy. I have been shocked to find transforming power in what I had once assumed to be failures. In this attempt to embody a love of mercy, I have seen my perspective on justice shift. Awe, and with it a sense of humility, have begun to reform the absolute principled convictions I held as a first year. My spirituality has begun to be defined in terms of finding awe in that which is greater than myself, in the humility of paying attention to the transformations taking place all around me, paying enough attention to watch my limited assumptions about reality fall apart. And in the transforming power of love, I have found much profound joy and hope for how to do justice and love mercifully in this world. And thus, as I prepare to conclude my time at EMU and learn to grow in other communities, I pray that I might embody more the final argument from Micah 6:8, that I might walk humbly with God and maintain awe in love's transforming power.
Just want to thank everyone for those profound thoughts, and just thanks for sharing part of your spiritual journey with us all today.
From where we are to where you need us, Jesus, now lead on.
From the security of what we know to the adventure of what you will reveal, Jesus, now lead on.
To refashion the fabric of this world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom, Jesus, now lead on.
Because good things have been prepared for those who love God, Jesus, now lead on.